I'd like to begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll introduce Pastor Lee, and we'll start the session. This is designed for us to have an opportunity to learn more about our Asian neighbors, as we were reminded at one of the forums back a ways that our Bellevue community is approximately 43% Asian. It's about a 38% Caucasian, 18% Hispanic, and about 3% that are Black. And so we are interested very much as a church to get to know our neighbors, and that's been a concern for us in terms of diversity and inclusivity. And so that's why we're trying to invite folks to be able to help us learn more and more about that, and then how do we respond. So let us pray. Gracious God, we commend this time into your hands and for your Holy Spirit to use it. We pray your blessing upon Pastor Lee, that he might share things that can be useful to us in expanding our broaden and our understanding and our perspectives and our neighborhood. We pray, O God, that your Spirit might give vision for what St. Andrews can be doing in the midst and how we can best support your work and what you want to accomplish in this community. We thank you for Pastor Lee and for his gifts and skills and experience in his life and the kind of compassion and call that he senses to share faith and witness and support in ways that we can't. So we thank you for him, and we thank you for his coming this morning. We pray for all those that are listening and will be listening that they might be blessed in doing and might be stirred up to love and to good works. In your name, Jesus, we always pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Lee currently is serving in the Northwest Washington Synod Ministry with Chinese postgraduate students at the University of Washington. But I'd like to just start with just asking him, Pastor Lee, if you would more detail, kind of explain what is it you actually do? What might a week look like for you?
Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to see you all. And my ministry actually used to be called, 2 years ago, we called it Ministry, Lutheran Campus Ministry to Chinese students and scholars. Actually, 2 years ago, we kind of changed the name to Lutheran Ministry to Internationals at UW. So it's kind of expanded. So my ministry, I joined force with the Presbyterians who are doing also ministry to internationals at UW. So they provided a platform. They have like volunteers. They have a good kitchen. They have people cooking meals before the pandemic for the people who join the ministry, join the gatherings, mostly on Friday night. So we have different classes. So at the peak, sometimes we even have like almost 200 people show up. That's a lot of food. lots of food to prepare. And that's during the week. And in the weekends, we have like activities, going out hiking, like a walk and talk around Grand Lake. You see my background. That's a picture from Grand Lake. So we have other activities like exploring the neighborhood, the surrounding areas. So that's mostly what I do, developing relationships, connections with the people, internationals, and if they have any need to, some like a basic needs, how to open a bank account, like, or where to find a grocery stores. So we also help them out. So really related to their daily life, because internationals coming to this country, for some of them, it's their first time coming to the U.S., everything's kind of new to them. From, opening a bank account, how to get a driver's license, where to do shopping. So that is, the basic needs. Then from there, we build trust. Then we invite them to, our Friday gatherings, then the Sunday worship. If they want to come, the Presbyterian church, that's fine. If they want to find another church, that's also good, welcomed. Actually, I even had a plan in the past. If, you know, we had the budget, I would like to invite people to visit, you know, different churches, like our Lutheran churches near and far. If they're interested on Sunday, you know, on Sundays, and they experience different kind of worship experiences. But we never put it really in practice because of the budget issue and also other stuff. Before I start talking, I like to tell you where I came from, because that's the way to understand who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, what, you know, formed me, shaped me, who I am. So I grew up in China. I grew up during the Cultural Revolution. If you know the word, the Cultural Revolution, that was the time all the churches were shut down. And it was illegal to worship. So I remember as a child, my parents, especially my mom, would pray every day. She didn't teach me much, but I still remember, especially in the evening, I remember she would kneel down there and facing a wall and mumble something that I don't understand. I didn't understand. But it gave me an impression that I knew she was not just facing an empty wall. She was talking to someone that is invisible, right? That's very important to a young mind. So that's my first impression to something that is unseen, you know, you cannot see. I remember I was when I was studying, I read a book by Gutierrez, the liberation theologian, Gustav Gutierrez, in his book called We Drink from Our Own Wells. He has a thing, he says, actually spirituality receives its initial impulse from an inner encounter with God. So actually our spirituality really, I agree with him. I believe, you know, spirituality with our encounter with God, with the transcendent, with the all-powerful, all-loving, all-forgiving God. So my initial encounter was, you know, through my mom's witness. So that is the initial encounter. However, as I told you, I grew up in China during the Cultural Revolution, even near the end of it, but still, you know, the education in the schools was atheistic. It says, there's no God. Religion is just opium for the people. Opium for the people. Well, I believe now, actually, I believe to some extent it's true. It could be. But the school claims that all religions are false, right? There's no God. So I had a personal struggle. Whether there is a God or there's no God. So it's kind of it's a fundamental question. It's very profound. I mean, it puzzled so many great minds, right? But look and behold, I was as a young child, like 8 or 9 years old, already thinking about this question. It was not fair, almost. But later on, I had another encounter. Because I was praying also. I was praying, you know, I said, is God, you know, are you there? Is it true or not? Please let me know. So we know in the Bible, Jesus said, you know, if you knock, the door will be open to you, right? You ask will be given. So my quest was just, you know, simple. If God is true, if you are there. So later on, I had I think God answered my prayer. So there's a Christian friend, also a relative, visited my family, and during the visit, he shared his story. He was a very devout Christian. During the Cultural Revolution, he was beaten and persecuted, and he was wounded. He was kicked, and his ribs were broken. They even use ropes and pull him up to the roof inside a room and just hang him there for a long time. Then they let him down. He was you know, it was painful, and he was, and he was complaining actually for me. He prayed to God. He said, you know, God, if you are there, then why would this happen to me, right? Almost like a Jesus prayed, you know, my Father, you know, why would you abandon me, right? So if you are there, why would you let this happen to me? I was peaceful to you, then why would, you know, I suffer from this kind of thing? So he was kind of, you know, felt the pain and complained and prayed. Then he fell in a sleep. And the second day, actually, his broken rib was healed. And he was shocked. Almost in disbelief, but of course he believed because he read those stories many times in the Bible, right? It could happen. Then he was shocked, and he immediately he prayed and thanked God, and also asked God for forgiveness because he complained to God, right? Well, you know, complaining actually, it happens all the time, right? We complain to God also. Even, you know, Job in the Bible, right? He complained also. So it's a normal thing because it's a, you know, complaining to God also is a matter of prayer, right? I believe so. And also it's part of our spirituality. So then he even said, he showed me his side. He said, you can touch. Of course, later on, I read in the Bible, Jesus even told his disciples, come and stand and even touch my side, right? He told Thomas, come, don't doubt, right? I mean, this brother in Christ, he even showed me his side. He had three broken ribs, and it was healed. He showed me, and let me touch, and I touched. It was like the ribs was kind of like, you know, some thing. You put outside something, then you nail it, then connect them together, right? I wonder if you understand what I'm talking. But anyway, long story short, so his witness actually further strengthened my faith because I always trusted my parents, right? I believe, you know, they would tell me the truth. Then this witness, Christian witness also, I mean, really, you know, put the nail on it. So then, in my young mind, I kind of made up my mind. I said, you know, when I grew up, because my parents, they were not really, they didn't have, you know, they did not have much education. Although they were very devout, pious, had strong faith, but they were not able to explain it. So I kind of thought, you know, when I grew up, I would learn all the Christian truths. And I will be able to explain to my friends, my classmates, that, you know, God is real. What we learned from the textbooks were wrong, right? I wonder if you catch that sentence. Yeah, I would learn all the Christian truths. Anyway, and that's one thing. Then when I was in middle school, actually the church was reopened. That was in 1980. So China started the open policy to the West. So as a gesture, you know, to show the sincerity, the government opened all the churches, the major churches, to show as a showcase to the West that, you know, there's a religious freedom in China. So now come and visit China and invest in China. So that is the time so we could go to church. And, you know, at that time, going to church is very different comparing to now in the U.S. going to church, right? We drive a car, we go to the church, we try to find the closest parking space to the door. And but at that time, it was different. So I was from my home to the church was 1 hour away by bicycle. So in the wintertime, because the worship was really early, I don't know why in China, you know, the worship always like before dawn. So we need to get up in the dark and ride a bicycle. There were no, because in the countryside, there's no, you know, lamps, road lamps, right? Light. No, that's dark. Also ride the bicycle in the dark, especially in the winter and the cold. I would put a hat on my head and a scarf. sometimes even wear a mask because it was so cold, right? So when I got to the church, I think the scarf, there's a frost on it. So that was the time I went to church to worship. I mean, talking about taking things for granted, right? When I think back, you know, so that's the way we went to church. In that kind of condition. But we believe, you know, that's the God. We go there and worship God. And we believe, you know, God deserves our worship and also get spiritual nourishment because I was eager to learn the truth, right? That's the place I can hear the preaching. So I get my, you know, have my faith strengthened. Also, I should be able to explain my faith, right? So that belief is one thing, explain is another. So here I would like to, if you, I mean, remember in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says, you know, always be ready to make your defense for anyone who demands from you accounting for the hope that is in you, right? And yet do it with gentleness and reverence. So we should always be ready to explain our faith to the people who may have a question. So that's why I would like also invite all of you here. What is your story? What is your encounter with God? Ask you, why do you believe in God? And what is your answer? I think we always should be ready to have that answer. And with gentleness and with reverence, answer that question. Because unless we have our own encounter with God, we won't be able to bring people to God, right? We cannot bring people to God with theological arguing, right? So I studied in theology. I even got my PhD in systematic theology. But I realized when I was young, I made my mind. I said, okay, I will learn all the truth, then I'll come back and convince you guys that that's the God. But more I learn and the more I realize, actually, we can never convince people with arguments, with theological arguments and all those things. Actually, it's our own encounter with God, with our lives, and the lives of Christian brothers and sisters around us. That is personal witness, a personal life, personal faith. That is more convincing, right? And also, at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit who changes minds and hearts. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do it alone. The Holy Spirit will do it through us, right? Remember our Lutheran model, right? That God works in our hands, right? Yeah, that is the way we show God, we reveal God through our own life to the people around us. So that is why I came from. And of course, later on, I have more encounters. I believe all of you also have many, many encounters with God, right? That's why we are still here. So all those encounters, the spirituality, strengthened us to be who we are, right? So later on, I remember one story I told some of you. Some of you already know it. Some of you don't. So when I was already ordained, during one summer, I was actually winter vacation. I went back to China visiting my home. Then one day there's a villager came to my home and said, you know, well, there is a old Christian who is dying, who had not ate for 3 days. So you need to go there and pray for him and give him the last, you know, sacrament, right? Anointing of the sick. So I went there, and that time, you know, in the countryside, that's still many years back. So there was no paved route to their village, and they didn't have a car. They had a mule. Hold a cart to pick me up in the kind of dirty and kind of muddy road. So I went there, I didn't know whether he was still alive or not, because we didn't talk. But I knew he was alive, but I didn't know he can hear me or not. So he was not responding. But I remember, you know, doctors would say, you know, the last sense that leaves us is the hearing, right? Even people could not talk, could not move, but the hearing is the last sense that, you know, before people die. So I talked to him. I said, you know, brother, I know for so many years you were not able to go to the church, but that's not your fault because the church is closed, right? Even now it's open, but, you know, after so many years, who knows, you know, many people lost hope, right? I said, that's normal. People would have doubts whether there's a God or not. So you didn't go to church for so many years, but God did not forget you. That's why I'm here. You know, God sent me here because to give you the message that God did not forget you, and also if it is your time to go to meet God, and then you can see God in peace because God remembered you. God has forgiven all your sins, even your sins that not believing, right? All the doubts or not going to church. I don't know, you know, what is your mind now? But if you can hear me, I assure you that your sins are forgiven, and even your doubts, your complaints, everything, God is welcoming you back into His home. So I prayed for him. So I left. I thought he would die. So 2 years later, actually, I went back home for another visit. My brother asked me, or I forgot my brother or sister, he asked me, or my sister-in-law, said, I'm the number 4 in my family, among my brothers. In Chinese, it was still the number 4 to address me instead of using my name. Do you remember that that old gentleman that you went there with a, you know, mule pulled cart, so he was going to die? I said, yeah, I remember that gentleman. Literally, actually, the second day he got up and he lived. And he got up and ate one full bowl of dumpling. I said, thank God, please God, I never expect that because I have known many people, many dying people, but I expect they die in peace, which is a good thing, right? But I never expect he would come back to life. And he didn't eat for 3 days. He was dying. He was not talking. And people, even his family, you know, so the whole family was expecting him to die. But thank God, I knew that God sometimes does work through our hands, right? Through our hands and through our words. We bring comfort. We bring assurance to people. And that is also assurance to our own faith. So that is my story. That's where I came from. So now you know me a little better, right? So if you ask me, I'm talking all the time, I welcome you to unmute yourself if you have any questions or feedback. Instead of one-way street, I don't want to make it a multiple way of street. So you can pitch me any time to give your feedback. Now I kind of open to the floor. So I would invite you to give your feedback or even share your story briefly, not too long, maybe more than 3 minutes, just for.
Pastor Joe, I know a little bit about you. I know that you were raised Catholic. Why are you Lutheran?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. That's another personal story. I had my own personal reformation. As I grew up, I thought the Catholic Church was the only true church. All other churches somehow something not perfect. So I need to learn all the truth, the Christian truth. So I went to the seminary, the Catholic seminary. So I even ordained a Catholic priest. But how come I came to the U.S.? because I had that dream, so to learn all the truth, right? And know that knowing Chinese alone is not enough, because Christian church, you know, developed in the West, right? At least I got to be fluent in one foreign language. So of course, in the seminary, I started liking, you know, many of the documents and the books were written in Latin, but of course, almost all of them were translated into English, right? So English is the universal language now. So I said, okay, at least I need to master this language. So when I was in China, I was still in the seminary, and after graduate in the seminary, I was teaching in the seminary. So at the same time, I was learning, improve my English. I was in Beijing at that time. I was lucky. The next door to the seminary was the foreign language university, the best foreign language university in China. So they have classes in the evening. So in the during the day, I'll be teaching and preparing my classes, and in the evening, I would go there and improve my English. And in the weekend, I still remember I would ride bicycle with a kind of Walkman. If you anyone knows a Walkman, right? I would listen to the cassette, to the textbooks, and sit at the riverbank and listen and repeating. So the reader read one, they read through. I would repeat. I would just follow, not repeat. Just what this thing I would say. To the point that I even can see before they speak the next sentence. So they speak the first sentence. I would speak out the next one actually. So I was really studying hard. I never knew I would come to the U.S. to study, to get, you know, to study advanced degrees, but I was only thinking I was able to pick up a book in English and read it, you know, just like reading a Chinese book. So my dream was become a modern Christian scholar. But one day this American missionary came to my seminary, said, and he said, I have some scholarships in the U.S. So who is, you know, capable to go and study some advanced degree? So now, then I was one also chosen, because he knew I was keep studying, keep looking, you know, improving my English. So they also proved the point, you know, opportunities are given to those who are prepared, right? So I was prepared. I never knew I was dumb, but I was studying, preparing, because I thought I need to know it. I want to, you know, be a modern 21st century Christian scholar, to be able to convince whoever have questions. I will be ready to answer them with gentleness and reverence. So I was preparing all the time. So that's how I came to the U.S. I studied first in New York at a seminary there. Then I went to Berkeley. I went to the Jesuit school there. So I was really happy to study in Berkeley, because at there, my advisor, a Jesuit professor, he told me, he said, Joe, you need to go to the Lutheran school to study some courses. I said, yes, I always wanted to, because I read the information, I studied the Reformation from the Catholic point of view, but I always doubted something missing there. Because I really admired, even as a Catholic, I really admired Luther's courage. I mean, how could he stand up with such a, you know, superpower that he might lose his life, right? Where did he get his courage? He would even dare to do that. So then I went to the PLTS, took my Reformation class from James Dole, historian. Very nice, very fine historian. She, I think now she's a Lutheran pastor somewhere in the Midwest. But she's excellent. So then as I studied, I said, oh my goodness. I really almost agree with every point that Luther made in his own writing. I thought, I'm a Lutheran actually. So, but I did not have the courage to leave the Catholic Church. So later on, as I studied more, as I was close to the end of my doctoral studies, I said, I have to make a decision now whether I want to stay in the Catholic Church with some of the points I don't agree and I'm not able to change either. Or just, you know, pick a simple way to join the Lutheran Church. And also I wanted to get married because I don't want to be alone for my life. I would, because at that time, I was praying to God, also reflecting to my own spiritual reflection. I said, you know, imagine I myself on my deathbed. If there's anything I regret, I said, I would regret I don't have family, I don't have children. So then I said, okay, no matter what, I will, I know what I should do. That's how I joined Lutheran, become Lutheran pastor. It's a long answer. Talk about that.
Yeah, may I give a short answer?
Oh.
And the story I wanted you to hear is that he fell in love with Luther. And that's the moment that my heart melted when I heard his story. And I'm proud of you, Joe.
Thank you. Sure. In the past, the Lutheran campus ministry, we used to have our own property there.
Right, I remember.
Was able to afford it. So at that time, you know, there's another pastor was doing, Elizabeth, was doing the, you know, homegrown ministry, but I primarily was doing the Chinese ministry. And later on, that property was sold because we are not able to afford that place. So we need to find a new place. So for me, I said, okay, I need to find my own. So at that time, I knew the University Presbyterian Church. They already have a program called Group of Friends. So I talked to the pastors. I said, I want to join you guys, and I can come here and teach a class about American culture, things like that, on kind of volunteer basis. I said, you know, you don't need to pay me anything because I already paid. Although not much, one quarter time. But still, you don't need to worry about that. All I need is just a platform. I can help out here and work with you. So, of course, they welcomed me because other mission, organizations, such as like a campus crusade, they were also using the University Presbyterian Church platform. As I told you, they have a big kitchen, huge kitchen, actually. They can feed like a 10,000 people probably in that kitchen. And they have volunteers, tons of them. They have sometimes they even four or five people cooking in the kitchen. So the maximum there were almost 200 people coming to Friday gathering, right? And also they have childcare. So I don't need to worry about that anymore. So that's how I started 2 years ago with UPC, the Global Friends platform. But starting this year, we have a new Lutheran campus ministry pastor, Pastor Chelsea. So we talk to each other because for the English campus ministry, the homegrown ministry, we also need to find a place, right? But the University Lutheran Church is there. So Pastor Chelsea talked to the pastor at the University Lutheran, and the pastor there is happy to, provided the space. So then I talked to Pastor Chelsea. I said, you know, we can join force because for the internationals, they want to develop or build some relationship or friendship with the, you know, native-born students. I said, you already have that ministry, right? I said, you can help out. And also at the same time, you can use that as a attraction to your homegrown ministry because you can advertise that, you know, come join our activities, then you can build friendships with the internationals. You also can show them, or share with them American culture and also teach them, you know, practice, help them practice English. So that's also a selling point for you. She said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So we actually starting this year, we plan to join force and do some kind of joint activities. And University Lutheran is the University Lutheran Church is happy to provide the you know, the space to facilitate that kind of activity. So that's the future of the ministry.
Just for your information, Pastor Joe, that Pastor Chelsea Globe is going to be pastoring and will be preaching next Sunday at St. Andrews. Pastor Laura needs to be gone, and so she will be leading us in worship and also preaching on next Sunday. So this is a nice front and back kind of tag team. You'll be a good tag team experience.
That's nice. Yeah.
I'd like to ask a question. Would you say that most Asian people have some concept of a higher power or God kind of, or are they just blank? You know, humans are on your own when you were born. That's all, you know, good luck. Or would you say there's something in the background?
Traditionally, in Chinese culture, we have a concept of higher power there. We call heaven, call it heaven, but heaven is not the sky, it's someone up there. Actually, even the early missionaries came to China in the 1500s, they adopted the Chinese word there. There is there, that's traditional culture, but in the modern time, after the communists took over, they tried to suppress that kind of idea. So the younger generation growing up in China kind of bought in with the atheistic idea. They believe that humans, you know, came from apes, that kind of stuff. However, that being said, when we refer to the traditional culture, if I tell them, you know, in the past, in the old days, I mean, in the 5,000 Chinese history, we Chinese always believed that a super transcendent power there who rewards the good and punish the bad and also, you know, created everything. And also, even in Beijing, even now, there's a temple called the Heavenly Temple. In the past, the emperor would go there, and only the emperor was qualified to go there twice a year to worship God. That's the old time. So I told them, I said, you know, the notion of God is not foreign, it's not Western, it's embedded in Chinese culture. Actually, that kind of, if I mention that, then, you know, it is more appealing to the Chinese, Chinese people, because I invite them to go back to their roots, right? You know, the communists, it's not the roots. Communists from the West. It's the Karl Marx, Lenin, Stalin, they're from the West. That's not Chinese. I said, you know, and also, in recent years, China has a trend to go back to the traditional culture. That's to the benefit. So when I use that, it is rather is appealing. It's also is convincing to people. So the notion of God is not Western. It's embedded in Chinese. The Chinese in old times always worship the heavenly being who is in charge of everything. Although it's different from the Christian notion, but at least that's a starting point.
Yeah.
To have a deeper dialogue.
Yeah. would they say also then that every human being is a spirit being?
Yes. Yep. In Chinese traditional culture, we do have that notion. We have a body, we have a soul. No, although nobody knows what soul is. And for the community, I think there's another question I want to mention because you asked me to address, you know, how do we as St. Andrews to build relationships with our neighbors, right? So I would, you know, point out two things. One is anything that relates to children's education or development that the Chinese neighbors, they are interested. Anything that related to education or development, overall development, well-being of children, the Chinese community, they are pretty responsive. Secondly, for community services and, community building things, many of the Chinese or Asian people also interested. These are 2 points before I forget it.
Go further on the second one, Joe, a little bit about
anything that is
community services,
community activities, community building, or community services regarding the well-being of a community. Now, the Asians, they are interested.
Okay.
So I put it down. I just
good.
I don't want to forget that.
No. Would you respond? I would like to ask: have you yourself experienced any kind of hate discrimination of being Chinese? In this area, we have there's signs around on Robinswood Park near where our church is, and it says "Hate has no home here," and it's listed in 7 languages. And we have, several, we can easily encounter people when we are out walking, et cetera. But have you experienced anything in terms of discrimination because you are Chinese?
Rarely. Very rarely. Maybe only once or twice, but it's not severe. And I don't think it's a big deal. Although it's a big deal, but I don't take it personally, because actually discrimination is everywhere, even among ourselves. I just tell you, even in China, I grew up in China. I know even in China, people discriminate against one another. For example, I live in Beijing, also I visited Shanghai. I know the people there, they kind of discriminate against the people from outside. They are not Beijing or Shanghai. It's kind of almost discrimination is human nature. And I believe we can never eliminate it. But the way to deal with it is what we should keep in mind. So I think I would invite all of you to reflect on that. That's my understanding. You may not agree, but I think we try our best, but I will never eliminate that. But how to deal with it is the crucial thing. At least we have our stand. We know where we stand for. We make a statement, but we can do it gently. With gentleness and reverence, even with that, we still can do it with gentleness and reverence, because we don't want to, for me at least, argument will never win people over, but gentleness and reverence will, because people will reflect on their own stand, then they may realize that they are wrong. But we leave a door open for them to change. But if we argue with people, people will never admit that they are wrong, because it's a kind of a psychological thing, right? People don't want to be admit that they are wrong. But if we do that gently, with gentleness, with reverence, with respect, even respect to those who discriminate against others, that helps to improve the communication, because why we should be do it with the respect and the gentleness, because we remember when we are sinners, or we still sinners, and God is gentle with us. I've never really harshly rebuke us, right? Said you are bad, you are just So then we should use the same attitude toward others. And that is the way to win hearts, right? So that's my understanding.
Yeah. Other questions or comments? Otherwise, Pastor Lee, I'm going to say thank you very, very much. Thank you for your participation with us and your willingness to share so openly about your own story and your own journey. And we look forward to perhaps more encounters along the way. All of this is very helpful for us and gets us beginning in conversation with our Asian neighbors and to get to know them, start relationship. That's the beginning point. Yeah, as I've heard you say, eh? Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we will be praying for you and your ministry over at University of Washington and also in your relationship with University Lutheran as well as University Press. In those contexts, that's something that we would want to be praying for in that way. Would one of you want to pray us out and pray for Pastor Lee?
Since I'm the pastor, I can be the default prayer if nobody else wants to.
Oh, sure. Why don't you be default? It's a good way of putting it. Thank you, Pastor.
Yep. Gracious God, we give you thanks for Pastor Lee, for the way that you spoke to his heart all those years ago and the way that you encouraged him and grew his faith into what it is today, for giving him the gifts to share it with others as they learn what it means to be your children and to be loved by you. We give you thanks for the work that he does, for all of the work that is done in your name all over the world. We give you thanks for the people who came to listen here today and ask that you bless us and bless those who will listen to this later on in the week or at another time. Be with us, too, as we go our separate ways today. Hold us close and keep us in your care. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you.
Have a great week, you guys, all of you. And we'll see you next Sunday with, this is Sarah Raymond will be with us. Plaster House is one of the projects we support as a church. And so the founder will be here from Tanzania. And so she will be at 11 o'clock, same thing. She'll same time, same station. And she'll be giving us update about on Plaster House and on the project that we support. So blessings on you all. Have a great week.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.